Netscape on your computer.
In one of the most important antitrust law cases of 1996 in America, Microsoft, the information technology giant, was accused of providing Internet Explorer for free. Because apparently by doing a customer-oriented action, Microsoft had removed its smaller but more successful competitor, Netscape, from the competition scene.
The DOJ argued that Microsoft stifled competition by using its sheer size to barge into the browser wars. It could offer Internet Explorer for free, included in the OS, and Netscape would be cut out of the business from the very first time the computer was turned on. On top of that, if a person wanted to install Netscape on the computer, Microsoft allegedly made it incredibly difficult to do so. Microsoft, on the other hand, argued that people chose to use its operating system because it was simply better than the competition.
This monopolistic action of Microsoft showed how complicated and deceptive the behavior of huge companies can be in destroying competitors. Chance is one of the two types of card drawing spaces in Monopoly. If you enter the space, you pick one chance card and follow the order. Receiving money from the bank or paying a fine to the bank or anything else are written on the chance cards. In the game, the type of card chosen is completely random. But in the real world, random selection is not attractive because company managers do not like to be surprised. They prefer to advance their work in any way by helping their government financially or by doing humanitarian work. In the summer of 2020, the CEOs of the four American tech giants were summoned to the congressional hearing for the umpteenth time. Jeff Bezos, executive chairman of Amazon, Sundar Pichai, the CEO of Google, Mark Zuckerberg, Chief Executive Officer of Facebook, and Tim Cook, Chief Executive Officer of Apple. They were supposed to answer the questions of the U.S. congressman about eliminating small competitors and creating a monopoly. This meeting was held virtually due to COVID-19 pandemic and lasted about 5 hours. But this meeting was fruitless. The CEOs of these companies talked about their hard lives in childhood and youth, and then talked about their contribution to the economic prosperity of the United States of America.
The products we build have changed the world and improved people's lives. Our industry is one of the ways that America shares its values with the world and one of our greatest economic and cultural exports. Facebook is part of this story. We started with an idea to give people the power to share and connect. And we've built services that billions of people find useful. I'm proud that we've given people who've never had a voice before the opportunity to be heard.
Tim Cook claimed that Apple's App Store alone contributed $138 billion to the U.S. market. Mark Zuckerberg talked about the help of Facebook in connecting the people of the world to each other. And when he was asked why he also bought Instagram in 2012, he said, "I never thought that this social networking system would become popular at that time." Finally, the CEOs of these four companies, whose capital is $5 trillion in total, finished the congressional hearing and nothing special happened, just like the previous meetings. Sundar Pichai still owns the world with Android. Jeff Bezos still destroys his competitors with online retail. Mark Zuckerberg still controls the world's communications with Facebook, WhatsApp, and Instagram. Tim Cook does not allow any competitor to get close to Apple products. These tech giants are so much big that no one can compete with them. These small companies are like the poor bankers in Monopoly board game that can't compete with powerful players. The banker is probably company's cooperator in this game.
voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
Let's recite the Quran.
وَإِذَا قَرَأْتَ الْقُرْآنَ جَعَلْنَا بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ حِجَابًا مَسْتُورًا.
القرآن نور وبيان. القرآن هدي الإيمان. القرآن مسك الختام.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Welcome to this edition of Let's Recite the Quran. You're listening to IRIB English Radio. My name is Muhammad, and with me today in the studio, the usual brothers, Brother Ali, Hassan, Hussein, and Masoom. Welcome to you all, brothers, and welcome to this program, dear listeners. We were reciting chapter number 71, Surah Nuh of the Noble Quran. Inshallah, in this episode, we will be reciting from verse number 17, because we have finished up until verse number 16 of this chapter.
يبكي يسأل خالقه فأتاه الوحي فأشرق اقرأ اقرأ.
Let's recite the Quran.
اقرأ بسم ربك الذي خلق.
I'll ask Brother Ali without any further ado to please recite verse number 17 for us of this chapter, Surah Nuh. Brother Ali, Bismillah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا.
أحسنتم. A very beautiful recitation. So in this verse we have أنبتكم, correct? Why didn't you recite and say أنبتكم or أنبتكم?
Because the ruling iqlab is applied.
Exactly. Okay, the ruling of iqlab. The ruling of iqlab basically says what? Whenever we have a nun sakin followed by a ba, what do?
We should change the nun.
We convert the nun,
yes,
into a meme, but not a complete meme, an incomplete meme.
Yes.
So basically, in our recitation, you will hear meme, but our lips will not be touching together.
Yeah.
Wallahu anbatakum. Keep in mind the lam of Allah, the beginning of this verse, should be recited with tafkhim. Why? Because Allah, whenever we have the haraka before the lam of Allah, whenever it is fatha or dhamma, we make the lam of Allah tafkhim, a heavy voice and a rounded sound. Correct? However, if we have kasra, for example, lillah, the lam is with tarqiq, a flat sound with a smile, lillahi, correct? But in this case, it's wallahu, correct? Wallahu anbatakum. Keep in mind the ruling of iqlab, whenever we have noon sakin followed by a ba, the noon converts to meme. Now, in this case, it always has a ghunna. Correct? Iqlab always comes with a ghunna. Wallahu anbatakum. Again, we have idgham of two memes. And this idgham of two memes also entails that it should be recited with ghunna. Anbatakum min al-ardi nabata. Ardi nabata. Keep in mind the ra and ba are letters of tafkhim as well.
والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا.
And Allah has caused you to grow from the earth, progressive growth.
I'll ask Brother Hassan to please recite verse number 18 of this chapter for us. Brother Hassan.
ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا.
Very good, mashallah. Beautiful recitation.
The last word is إخراجا.
إخراجا, and that is one of the points I wanted to point out. Keep in mind that خاء is also a letter of تفخيم. را in this case should be recited with تفخيم. را is not necessarily a letter of تفخيم because there are cases whereby we recite را without تفخيم. We recite it with ترقيق. In this case, we have both the cases and inshallah we'll mention them. But let's begin with the first point of this verse. ثم, right? ثم. This thumma is recited with ghunna. Why? Because, Brother Hassan?
Because
of mushadda. No, the meme over here is with shadda, so we recite it with ghunna. Ghunna basically means a nasal sound, a little bit of a stretch, two counts maximum. Thumma yu'idukum fiha wa yukhrijukum. Yukhrijukum. Now, in this case, the ra is with kasra. And ra, when it comes with kasra, or when it has a sukoon and the kasra is before the ra, what happens is it is recited with tarqiq, a flat sound, a smile. Yukh, and keep in mind the kha is, although it's sakin, it's still a tafkheem letter. So it always have to be recited with tafkheem. Wa yukhrijukum. Now this, when you focus, we have a kha, which is a tafkheem before ra, and which is tarqiq. And then we have ja, which is with dhamma. Now, kasra and dhamma, it becomes a bit of a difficulty in reciting. But the more you practice, the better you get it. Yukhrijukum ikhraja. Now, this ra over here, because it is with fatha, right? Ra, whenever we have fatha on it, or it is sakin, and before it is fatha or dhamma, we make it into a tafkheem. We recite it with tafkheem. Ikhraja. Kha is with tafkheem. Ra is also with tafkheem. Ikhraja. It's not ikhraja. Right? Ikhraja. Ahsantum.
Thumma yu'idukum fiha wa yukhrijukum ikhraja.
Then he will return you into it and extract you another extraction.
IRIB English Radio, in cooperation with Xavier International Schools, presents Let's Recite the Quran.
Verse number 19, I'll ask Brother Marsoom to please take the honors.
Wallahu ja'ala lakum al-ardha bisata.
Ahsantum, very good. Again, we have Allah, the ruling of Allah in this case is with tarqiq. The recitation over here is with tafkheem, I'm sorry. Why? Because before the lam of Allah, the middle lam of Allah, we have, what is the haraka, Brother Masoom?
Fatha.
Fatha. Fatha basically means that the lam of Allah, because fatha comes before the lam of Allah will be recited with tafkheem. Wallahu. Wallahu ja'ala lakumul arda. Ra and bad again with tafkheem. Lakumul arda bisata. Keep in mind, ba, sa, both of them, tarqiq, flat. Bisa, not bisa, not bisata, right? Keep in mind it is bisata. The first part is with tarqiq and the second part is with tafkheem.
Wallahu ja'ala lakum al-ardha bisata.
And Allah has made for you the earth an expanse.
Finally, the last verse of this episode, I'll ask Brother Hussein to please recite for us verse number 20 of this chapter.
لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا. فجاجا.
Exactly. So there is no تفخيم for فجاجا. Right? There is no فجاجا. It's فجاجا. It's all ترقيق. normal fat recitation. You see, when there is something with knowledge, whenever you learn something new, you kind of have to practice that new thing to make sure that it is embodied and manifested in your recitation. Until now, maybe you would have recited correctly fijaja, but now that you've learned tafkhim and tarqiq, now you're confused exactly where you should apply it, right? It's a very common thing. Practice more, you'll get it. لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. Remember, keep in mind that the minha is with idhar. There is no ikhfa or idgham or any sort of ruling that is applied for you to give it a ghunna and say minha, right? That is incorrect. The correct recitation will be minha, normal, flat, straight up minha idhar. لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. The second noon, however, in this case, سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا, that was the original recitation. However, because of what ruling do we give it a ghunna, Brother Hussein?
Ikhfa.
Yes. سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا, right? Now, originally it was سُبُلًا. The tanween of subul, right? Subula, the tanween of subulan is actually a nun sakin at the end, correct? So whenever we have nun sakin or tanween, after that we have a mouth letter. In this case, we have fa, right? What happens is that we apply the ruling of ikhfa. Ikhfa says silence the sound of nun, give it a ghunna, right? Meaning that a small nasal sound and a little bit of a stretch, and then recite. سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. Originally and incorrectly, it would have been سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. But then correctly, after the application of إِخْفَى and غُنَّ, it will become سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا. Correct?
لِتَسْلُكُوا مِنْهَا سُبُلًا فِجَاجًا.
That you may follow therein roads of passage.
Let's repeat the recitation of these verses we recited in this episode. We started from 16, correct? No, from 17.
17, yeah.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والله أنبتكم من الأرض نباتا
ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا
ثم يعيدكم فيها ويخرجكم إخراجا.
Sentum ikhraja, not ikhraja. Ikhraja. The ja is not a letter of tafkhim. Wallahu ja'ala lakum al-arda bisata.
Wallahu ja'ala lakum al-arda bisata.
Litasluku minha subulan fijaja.
لتسلكوا منها سبلا فجاجا.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
صدق الله العلي العظيم.
And that marks the end of this episode of Let's Recite the Quran. Thank you for listening to us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's Recite the Quran, a joint production of IRIB English Radio and Xavier International Schools.
Zikr wa
تستقيم حياتنا إلا به هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان
Searching for the light, and you see no hope in sight. Be sure and have no doubt, He is always close to you. He's the one who knows you best, He knows what's in your heart. You'll find your peace at last if you just have faith in Him. You're always in my heart and mind, your name is mentioned every day. You no matter what, my biggest wish is to see you one day. 'Cause I believe, I believe, I believe. Do you believe? Oh, oh, oh. Do you believe?
'Cause I believe. Used to be so full of love and harmony. He fought for peace and liberty, and never would he hurt anything. He was a merciful mankind, a teacher till the end of time. A preacher could be compared with him, so full of light and blessings. So always in my heart and mind, your name is mentioned every day. You no matter what God wills you meet one day. 'Cause I believe, I believe, I believe. Do you believe? Oh,
good night to all of our listeners. You are tuning to Iran Radio, broadcast from Tehran. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host for the next hour. Iran Radio, and interesting facts about Islam. Islam's tradition of oral recitation developed into an efficient vehicle for mass-produced handwritten literature. A single Muslim reciter would read a book out loud to a group of scribes who copied his spoken words simultaneously. Europe, in contrast, used a much slower system. Monks copied books individually and one at a time. Gutenberg's movable type printing press was ill-suited for cursive Arabic and was only slowly adopted by Muslims. However, when lithography was invented in Germany in 1796, which used drawing on stone with ink to produce illustrations, Muslims eagerly adopted this method of printing. It replaced hand copying to make multiple copies of the Holy Quran and Arabic newspapers and books. And now we listen to the continuation of our schedule on Iran Radio. We start off this hour's programs with dialogue. The program looks at the most important conversations between Shia imams and their followers, questioners, and leaders of the other Islamic faith and sects. And our final program this hour will be Youth Station, a program all about young people and dealing with topics related to youth. Stay with us for this hour.
We have to have a very fair assessment of this academic and intellectual icon of early Islam.
His impact is more pronounced in jurisprudence that he formalized.
And tens of thousands of statements and teachings have reached us from Al-Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
This is Dialogue, an introduction to the most important dialogues and conversations of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Assalamu alaikum, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. The program is Dialogue and I'm your host Mahdi. Today we want to talk about one of the great personalities in the history of Islam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. Please stay tuned. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam, was an incredibly prominent character in the history of the Muslims. He benefited humankind with his highly scientific achievements, many of which had never been seen before by humanity. Imam Ja'far as-Sadiq alayhi salam's instructions in the acts of worship and transactions and his contribution in the field of legislation were amazing achievements that had not occurred before amongst the Muslim masses. And his eminence also had a positive and active share in the establishment of human culture and civilization. The sixth divinely appointed Imam, the son of Imam Baqir alayhi salam, an individual who was divinely appointed by the Almighty Allah, was known to have improved the general public lives of the people and the Muslims, and he was an individual, a divinely appointed Imam, a man from the household of the Holy Prophet, who enhanced human thoughts and discovered many of the secrets of this universe. Welcome back, dear listeners. This is IRIB English Radio, and we're talking about the dialogues of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So what an honor it is to be speaking about the dialogues of the sixth divinely appointed Imam, Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam. Now, just for a few programs, we would humbly speak about the dialogues of the various different famous people in the era of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, and how in their dialogues they spoke about the excellencies and the superiority of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So of course, many of you probably know Jabir ibn Hayyan, of course one of the fathers of chemistry, if I'm not mistaken, where even in the present day, it was Jabir ibn Hayyan's work that has led to modern era chemistry and its advancements. And of course, Jabir ibn Hayyan was a famous student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. So somebody once asked him that, you know, you are such an expert in this science and, you know, you have all this knowledge about this science. You know, isn't that so wonderful and great? And so Jabir ibn Hayyan, he replies and he says that, you know, really I have nothing, and whatever I have, it is from Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. He says Jafar ibn Muhammad alayhi salam is one of the masters in jurisprudence, knowledge, science, and excellence from the Ahlul Bayt alayhim salam. So of course he says one of the masters, because he's also referring to Imam Baqir alayhi salam, Imam Sajjad alayhi salam, and so forth. So this is what Jabir ibn Hayyan, you know, says about Imam Jafar Sadiq alayhi salam. And really this is a testament, you know, when the students of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam are at such a amazing level of knowledge and mastery, to the point where thousands of years later, you know, it was their foundations that have helped to develop modern era sciences. I mean, this is something that is really amazing. It's not something that one can just lightly say and look over and not reflect upon. And this individual who has such a, you know, solid position when it comes to the modern era sciences, he is saying that I'm a humble student of Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. He is saying that the real master in not just one science, but in all these sciences, in knowledge and in excellence, is Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. It is really something to take note of. And we should also put forth these things about the divinely appointed Imams and not hide them. Try our best to show the world these beautiful divine personalities, which of course will help to cure and heal and save the world that we are living in. This is Dialogue, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. IRIB English Radio, our radio programs and podcasts on iranradio.ir. And now let's listen to Sayyid Muhammad Jawad Al-Ghazwini.
Another beautiful teaching from Al-Imam Al-Sadiq alayhi salam is the following hadith. Implementing this hadith gives you peace of mind, my dear brothers and sisters. It brings you rahat al-qalb. It removes stress from your life. The Imam alayhi salam states, "Ar-raghbatu fi dunya turithu al-ghamma wal-huzn, wal-zuhda fi dunya rahatu al-qalbi wal-badan." The Imam says, having expectations from this worldly dunya, from materialism, always pursuing this dunya, wanting this dunya, wanting money, wanting power, wanting this position, wanting attention, competition for attention. The Imam says this leads to sadness, to depression, to grief, because you can never get enough of this dunya. We always have expectations. A true mu'min, a successful couple, a successful human being is the one who does not have any expectation. If my spouse serves me, I don't take it for granted. I thank them from the bottom of my heart. I appreciate it. Because when you expect something and the person gives it to you, right? You don't genuinely thank them. Why don't you genuinely thank them? Because in your mind, غصباً عنك, I expect this, I deserve this. So if you served me, you did something to me, it's your job to do so. That's the attitude. And that's why you cannot even be thankful. And I've seen this, wallahi, I've seen this with a lot of married couples, right? Sometimes one side really goes out of their way to serve the other side. The other side is not still not really happy. And when you dig deeper to see what's going on, yeah, it's her obligation. It's his obligation. They're just doing their job. You ruin your marriage with this type of attitude. Don't have any expectations. Not having expectations puts you at peace. At night you sleep, you have no grudges against anyone. Because you don't expect anything from anyone. Your expectation is only from Allah. Not everyone, not anyone out there in society. The Imam says this brings you peace of mind and it gives you health. It's good for your body as well. So this is truly a beautiful, amazing hadith that we learn from Al-Imam Ja'far al-Sadiq alayhi salam.
Thank you very much for listening to this episode of the program, Dialogue. For more information, visit our website at iranradio.ir. Until another episode, God bless you and fi amanillah.
Choose to think better. Welcome to a better you. IRIB English Radio. Visit us at parstoday.ir/en.
Start.
Movement.
Speed.
Live in hope.
Toward the peak.
On Youth Station.
Youth Station. Youth Station.
I am a Muslim.
I am a Muslim.
Islamidi.
Islamidi.
Allah my Lord.
Allah my Lord.
His word Quran.
His word Quran.
Muhammad Prophet.
Muhammad Prophet.
Praise be upon.
Praise be upon.
I am Muslim for all.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to all of you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio. Welcome to another episode of Youth Station. This is Nahid, having the honor of being with you. And here with me, I have the honor of being with my very dear brother,
Muhammad, and assalamu alaikum to everyone listening to us. We were talking in a very recent episode about our expectations from our parents. How do we expect our parents to be? And what happens when our parents don't meet our expectations? And we did discuss a lot about education, about demanding from our parents, and what happens if our demands are not met, and what happens when they're met, especially in this technological era. But I think we should also address a very fundamental issue, Sister Nahid, and I think that is self-centrism. When we look ourselves as ourselves and no one else other than ourselves,
the center of the world.
Exactly. That becomes a very dangerous line between ourselves and parents. And I've experienced this a lot. Whenever your parents scold you, especially as a kid growing up, not so much in the youth arena, but more when you're, you know, towards the, you come back and when you're like alone and you think, why do they hate me? As if you're the only one who exists and no one else exists, and you see your world from your own eyes and no one else's. You keep telling yourself, why do they hate me? What do you think is the remedy to this?
Well, you know, first of all, I'm thinking about this being in the center of the world, we usually talk about the negative part of it. But I myself, in my own experience, have seen both the positive and negative sides. Sometimes, regarding the rest, I mean, this Gen Z members, we Gen Z members, learn this, and it's really sweet that we learn that we don't have to be accepted by the whole world. And I really love this part of us. I mean, outside in the society, when someone just criticizes us, tells us negative opinion, we don't care because we feel like I am responsible for my own life. But when it comes to the home, when it comes to the family, I think the problem arises here. The thing that I have seen with my own friends or even the younger children these days is that they do the same in the family as well. Mm-hmm. I mean, I remember when I was a teenager, I used to go to many different classes and different places. And this was my parents' scenario. Now I'm learning this. Now I'm just seeing it. That they wanted me to see different groups of people, to learn to be sociable, since in the family we have a small family. So it was only me and my brother. So they sent us to different classes so we can learn how to be more sociable. And I learned there in a society that I don't have to care about the other people's opinion. But once we came home, we had this framework of family. In the family,
and you have to care about their opinion.
Yeah, and their opinion matters. Here you are not supposed to say, okay, I'm drawing a line around myself. This is the circle. Nobody can enter. No, it's not. It's nothing like that. In the family, the framework changes. But this misunderstanding, I think, is bothering the new generation.
I think it really kind of conflicts whereby you have your own opinion and your parents have their opinion. And that's on one side of the coin. The other side of the coin, you have to consider that, okay, they're my parents. They brought me up. They gave birth to me. They fed me. They protected me. And they did all sorts of sacrifices.
And right now, selflessly. They're not going to harm me.
Exactly. And you're thinking, okay, if my opinion is the correct one, why aren't they accepting it? Why is there a problem from the? If they still do love me, why don't they still consider the things that I love, or the things that I think are the correct, you know, my correct decisions? Why don't they support me just like before? No, I think this conflict can be easily resolved when you see your parents as responsible but not flawless. Your parents are responsible.
Right.
When they tell you some things, whether it be their advice in your purchases, in your, you know, buying habits, in your educational career, in your family career, when you want to select a spouse, when you're going towards all of these stages, when they're advising from a parent's lens, from a parent's eyes, and they're advising because they see that it's their responsibility. Not only is it their, I can say legal or paralegal responsibility, but also their emotional responsibility. They have brought you up. They've gone through so many emotions with you. They have seen you cry and they have, you know.
So true.
Exactly. So they see that, okay, since we've gone through so much, I should not leave this child just like that. When you keep that in mind, you also have to understand they're not flawless. They're not infallible. Yes, they might advise you. They might advise you good. They might advise you bad. But then they're not flawless. They're not infallible.
Yeah, it's you to make the decision. You don't have to copy whatever.
Let's change the phrase from you expecting something from the parents, and let's see it from their expectations. They expect you to become a doctor. It's a very common thing among parents. They have high expectations. They expect you to become someone successful. That's why when they tell you, take this educational path rather than the other one that you were thinking is, take science instead of arts, take business instead of this and that. they are seeing the success in you. They are seeing that, okay, I know what's good for this child because I've brought him up. And this conflict can be resolved by considering that, oh, they might not be flawless. And on the other hand, maybe you are in the wrong side as well. Right. Take a step back.
You know, when I think of myself as a parent in the future, it looks really scary to me. I mean, I feel the danger there that normally speaking, I would want the best things for my own child. But what if I will be wrong as well? So whenever I try to understand the perspective of parents, of my own parents, I just think of myself in their position. Once I experience this feeling, this vibe, I'm really scared. I don't know if it's the same with you or not, but I feel scared. I mean, the only word that I can use is scared of the future decisions, of the things that I feel my child will succeed in. And the opposite. What if I want something for them and it will not happen? It will never happen.
I think that really does justice to that feeling, the word fear.
Yeah.
Yes, it is fearful. I mean, many of us as youths, if we think about our future, our kids, and then we apply that same thinking between our parents, what our parents are going through now or what they went through when they were telling us and they were not reaching our expectations, I think that really applies to our parents. They would have been also fearless and anxious about us as maybe the future.
But they acted brave.
Yeah, they did. And I think it's also expected of us as youths to our children now to act as bravely as our parents or even more braver. And with that, I think let's take a break and we'll come back. Don't go away. You're listening to the Youth Station and we're talking about parents. Don't go away. We have a lot more to talk about.
This is IRIB English Radio. You're listening to Youth Station.
Welcome back, and we are talking about the perspectives of parents versus children with all their needs and wants and expectations. We need the parents and children to sit together, to start to talk, to share the kinds of fear, the things in their mind, their mindset. In this way, I mean, we say we're in the modern world.
Mm-hmm.
So if we have improved, we should act like the improved versions of human beings,
exactly.
Not those who have copied.
More civilized and more cultured, who can have a dialogue without conflict.
But unfortunately, sometimes it's not happening. Sometimes we're just fighting each other. We're not listening to each other well.
I think that aspect of respecting parents, and this is something I have to thank my parents again for this, because whenever I would disrespect my mother, my father would come in and scold me and treat me the way I should be treated and you know, guide me towards respecting my mother. And likewise, when I disrespect my father, my mother would come in. And this kind of two-sided enforcement of respect really got us to the point that we see even using their names or even calling them in a very bad tone as really disrespectful, and we have red lines for that. We don't become stupidly angry at our parents because of that respect. My father would say, "Why did you do this?" I would just put my head down and accept, even though what I did was the correct thing, right? And I know that maybe even reality was correct, but then that respect is there. And I think this is something that is enforced by the Quran, and may God bless the parents who have, you know, brought up their kids respecting the Quran, because when the parents bring their kids in a way that the kids respect Quran, they respect them. Why? Because the Quran itself says that be grateful to your parents. And this being grateful comes directly after being grateful to God Almighty.
Yeah.
And God Almighty says,
mentioned.
Exactly. I can remember in chapter 31, Surah Luqman of the Quran, in verse number 14 and 15, it talks about how you should be grateful to God Almighty and then to your parents directly after that. And then it tells you that even if they are not grateful, they are not respectful to you, if they did push you towards something wrong, you don't do that wrong thing, but be respectful.
Right.
Be respectful. And I think this should be incorporated in our thinking process, especially when we are angry. Especially when we are angry at our parents and our parents are pushing us towards the wrong thing. incorporate this. Be respectful.
That's why I feel in Islam we have the this building of healthier relationship with the between the parent and child. So we have been repeatedly mentioned that we have to be supportive of them, we have to respect them. But I think once we talk about this stuff as Muslims, we all do believe in them.
Exactly.
But once you want to put them into practice,
yeah.
the difficulty starts to just bloom here.
Exactly.
And
exactly.
the problem that most of the teenagers and young people face these days is this. I mean, starting to control ourselves. And I've seen many of them, though they are well-educated, they know how to work with everything, every technological thing, and they are even well-educated in their own majors. I mean, they have high degrees.
Mm-hmm.
But once it comes to anger management or controlling how they feel, they fail.
Yeah.
So this is the place that the teenagers and young people have to be aware of. That
I mean, if you as a teenager, you're good with your peers, you, when you become angry with your friends, you kind of control it.
Right.
And I can remember we have so many... you know, recommendations from the imams and our scholars and so on, that one who overlooks the mistakes of the other, especially this is a saying of Imam Ali, that one who overlooks the mistakes of his friend will die lonely. Now, you're talking about a friend,
yeah.
overlooking the mistakes of your friend. Now, what about overlooking the mistakes of your parents? Now, your friend has not nurtured you, has not given you protection. He's just your friend. Right, but your parent is someone who has sacrificed and has been selfless for you. Yes, there is that generational gap and that expectation, but you should overlook the mistakes of their parents, of your parents as well. And I can tell you, there's so many places that my parents would have done mistakes, and I know that these are mistakes,
right.
and I know I have this gut feeling that these
it
are mistakes.
Happens. They're not
exactly,
flawless.
But then you really can't go against them and disrespect them. You might tell them, "Dad, Mom, this is a mistake," right? And I've done that. And I've also gotten my response, know your place. Yeah, I've gotten that response as well, know your place. But should you disrespect them? No. Keep that, you have that expectation, keep that respect. Tell them wherever you can, amr bil ma'ruf nahy anil munkar. And I think it's a very good relationship if you have your parents. And I know that for a fact, many instances, my parents would have accepted their mistakes.
Yeah,
oh,
they
yes.
would.
Yeah, and they would, because you see, they're looking at you as someone who... as a version 2 of themselves. They're version 1.0, you're a version 2.0 of themselves. When they look at you, they look at you as if, well, of course, if they're like, you know, good parents.
Right.
They look at you as if, okay, this is someone who I have nurtured. I have told them this is correct and wrong. And I might do mistakes that I might be overlooking, but he, because since I have brought him up to not overlook this mistake,
right.
he or she will tell me my mistake. And this is a very good relationship, but you should keep it and that relationship and that communication.
We should remind ourselves that this is the way our parents are thinking of us.
Exactly. And that communication, again, respectful. And not the same as your friend, but your expectation should not be more than that either.
Right.
Your friends are human beings, you're human beings, and likewise your parents. And all of them have expectations from each other, and you should overlook the mistakes. And I believe that this bringing down our expectations and accepting the responsibilities and our parents being not infallible is crucial to having a very peaceful, a coherent, and a lovely relationship with our parents.
So I think that's all for today, with the best wishes for all the young people around the world to remember and to remind themselves of the respect that is needed for the parents, and with the wishes of this healthy relationship between all the parents and children. Let's end today's episode. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
I will tell you, dear youth, that the future belongs to you. By Allah's favor, you dear youth will see that day, and you will hand down your sources of pride to the future generations. Greetings be upon you and Allah's mercy and blessings.
And inshallah, we will continue talking about
this. We'll discuss that inshallah in the next session. Wassalamu alaikum wa
rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And don't go away.
We will continue this very essential topic with our great youth.
Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Good night to all of our listeners. You are tuned into Iran Radio. Very nice to have you with us. I'm your host here in Tehran for the next hour. We start off this hour's programs with our news bulletin. After that, we have Minbar. The program covers speeches on a host of subjects by very well-known Islamic scholars and orators. Our varied radio productions feature will follow. And we round up this hour's programs with leaders' speech, presenting an English translation of a selection of the statements and speeches by the Honorable Leader of the Islamic Revolution.
Chased by wolves, followed by a hawk, on the battlefield you took your final walk. It took my breath when you said goodbye, but then again, heroes never die. Your final words were stay the course. Trust in God, the everlasting source. Don't give in to the enemy's plots. Resist with faith, go against the odds. Your way I follow, oh my hero. Unbreakable soul, unstoppable power. Until the last breath you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice. Make you the hero we'll remember forever. Your blood was spilled, but it nourished my roots. I then became a tree with me. Our love, courage, and resolve. You've made me a soldier, so you I salute. Your way I follow, oh my hero. Unbreakable soul, unstoppable power, until the last breath you never surrender. Unshakable faith, unwavering sacrifice, make you the hero we'll remember forever. A hero.
This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
This hour's top headlines. Israel has once again violated the Gaza ceasefire by launching fresh attacks in the Palestinian territory.